And it's time for the big show. My name's Carl Madden, and we're here to discuss the week's big technological fluff. That word, didn't I? News, anyway. Falsely joining me against all odds as his little town disintegrates around him, we have the wonderful editor of the Mac Observer, Jeff Gamet. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. You know, just another crazy day in the mountains with
now what's happening over there?
Okay, so it started raining a couple days ago and didn't stop, and it's been getting harder and harder. And last night, we hit the point where the area just couldn't handle it anymore. So we started getting rock slides, and the roads have been washing out, and they've had to evacuate towns around us. Mm. Dams have been breaking, and
goodness.
It's you know, just craziness.
Oh my God,
that's bad.
Luckily, we don't often get that sort of stuff here in the UK.
Well, if it starts to flood in the UK, basically the entire place is underwater, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Norris goes first.
Also joining us back again this week, we have our on-site reviewer, Mr. Paul Wright. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. I've been playing with lasers today. I'm a happy boy.
Play with lasers? What was you doing? What was you doing?
That's where I work. We have lasers, and I get to play with
them. Are you a Jedi?
Not yet in training, but yeah.
Paddywhale, then.
Paddywhale, yeah, that's me.
You've been bouncing them off the moon?
No, we just bounce them off various things. It's very sciencey.
You haven't been pointing them at Jeff's area, have you? That's why.
That would explain a lot. And it also explains why, as I'm walking around, right before something explodes, I hear pew, pew, pew.
I may have miscalibrated something. It's not my fault.
I know these things happen.
Oh, dear. Also joining us, we have our very own Leonard McCoy, Bones himself. Richard Harkness, how are you doing, sir?
Good evening. Very well, thank you, Carl.
I've been up to much since you was last on?
Nah, just work and kids and all the usual stuff, nothing exciting. Oh, I've been to Disneyland Paris, I suppose. That's a bit different.
Nothing exciting then. It's horrible, Disneyland Paris.
It's lovely.
It's good fun. But the merchandising thing is just horrible. I hated that.
Space Mountain?
That's America. I want the Paris one.
Yeah, no, they've got Space Mountain in Paris.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Well, we didn't go on that one because the kids aren't old enough yet, so...
Paul, you come from Norfolk. A park bench is exciting to you, so...
is that the Father Ted park bench on the train,
yeah,
is it?
That's the one. Oh dear, so apart from one very big tech story obviously this week, which we'll probably get to a bit later, we'll start off with the fact that good old Marissa Meyer, and I haven't got the intro unfortunately this week in Marissa Meyer, she has reported that Yahoo now has 800 million monthly active users, up 20% since she took over the helm in July 2012 last year. She was talking at Disrupt this week. And she now says they have 350 million active users on mobile alone. And this doesn't even count the Tumblr users that she's taken on board. So it definitely looks like she's managed to turn that company around. But what do you reckon?
What are people doing on Yahoo? When was the last time you went to Yahoo?
Flickr. I still got a load of photos on Flickr.
Yeah, I guess after they gave the old 1 terabyte store, wasn't it? That's what that kind of up the users. It was always going to be a bit of a catch-over, wasn't it? So that's probably where most of your 20% is going to be, isn't it?
That's true. Plus, I use my Yahoo email address as my fallback.
Your spam filter?
Yes, my spam email address.
But that's what a lot of ISPs use, don't they? Because I think BT is Yahoo Mail, isn't it? So that's a hell of a lot of users. A lot of people who get their email through their ISP probably do use their Yahoo BT Mail, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I just think she oversaw a refresh, didn't she, after the Yahoo Mail. And obviously it's competing against the big one with Google Mail. But Yahoo this summer beat Google on the amount of visits, unique visits. So she's obviously doing something. She's turning it around. She said she's still, she's proud of where she's got to so far in the last year and a bit. But she reckons, given another 3 years, and it'll be a totally different company.
Yeah, it's basically what a new logo would do, wouldn't it?
Look at the hard work they did on the logo.
Now, there's a post that she wrote saying that they'd done that one weekend.
After a couple of shots
she
of tequila.
She should not talk about design, period.
Well, yeah, apparently that new logo's got a lot of flack from designers, but then designers gave everything that's new a new a bit of flack.
All right, well, the flack that I'm giving her is because of the... Do we have a family rating tag on this show?
I'd rather you didn't swear.
Okay.
Unless rocks come flying through your window or something, you can swear then.
Okay, so the stuff she was saying about the way the logo was designed and the why and the reason why things were done is an absolute load of crap. And just reading the words that she put out, and any designer that's looking at that is going, someone should have told her just to shut up and not write this. Because she sounds like an ass in it. And I like Marissa Meyer, but she sounds like an ass in it. And the stuff she says is total bull. It's crap. It's just crap.
The thing that the biggest design fault with that logo, I think, still, is they haven't dropped the exclamation mark.
Yes, exactly.
Get rid of it. It's famous for the exclamation mark.
It looks stupid.
But logo aside, I think she's made some pretty impressive changes at that company. I mean, you can look at little things. It's a huge, huge company, and it's going to take ages for her to turn it around and face into a new direction. But the things that she has changed, like the new look, Mal, for example, looks nice. And the fact the new Flickr, I think, looks nice, even though that came in for a ton of flack when it was introduced. The weather app on my iPhone looks stunning. And
yeah, I love that.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think iOS 7 took a lot of cues from the Yahoo weather app.
I was about to say, stunning that iOS 7's nicked it. But the revenue's up. Well, the revenue's stayed the same, but what is it? The earnings are up. So she's obviously pulling in the business. And who would have thought last year that Yahoo would have more hits on its sites than Google ever would?
I'm surprised we're actually talking about Yahoo still. So she's done well, just the fact that we're talking about it.
Just from that point of view.
Yeah. Because they are the 90s kind of company, aren't they? Mm. They are the internet bubble, really, aren't they? So,
well, that's the thing. The people who come on shows like this and watch shows like this, they do think of it's old hat. But, you know, your parents, or my parents and stuff, just think of Yahoo as another company, and it's normally the default. And now it's going to be, again, still the default on search on your iPhone if you use Siri, for example.
But a lot of people...
Is that a Bing?
Sorry, Bing. Shrug that. I'll look stupid for 5 seconds, or probably longer.
You're doing a lot better than me.
Oh, dear. No, so go on. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the company is moving in a positive direction from where it was?
In the fact that we're talking about them, yes. I think they're making themselves a little more relevant than they were before Marissa joined. I think, they probably are making strides. And I've downloaded the weather app. I've checked out the new mail app. Not too keen on their email recycling that they're thinking about doing in the future. But I think the fact that people are talking about them again means that they are relevant again. And for a lot of companies that were around in the 90s, you never speak about them again.
Do you not think that for them to really survive and do well, though, they need to start innovating and getting some new products out there and stuff?
What would you like to see, Rich?
I don't know. I think I'm not really concerned about Yahoo at all, really. I don't think there's an awful lot more we need, is there? To be quite honest, we've got every means of communicating possible.
But they're in bed with a lot of people, aren't they? They run the stocks for Apple, don't they? On mobile.
What, the stocks app?
The stocks app. Yeah,
they also run the weather app for Apple.
Exactly. So I think that's where the revenue is coming from, as Apple's market share either gains or decreases. They've got a revenue stream somewhere. They've got... I think
right, Apple, that's it, right. Then. Wait for Apple to cut the throat of that one, then that's... Because they're gradually looking to sever themselves from every other company, aren't they? So it'll be interesting to see how long it is before that alliance goes out the window.
Well, just one at the moment, it would have seemed, so...
Yeah.
Maybe Yahoo's the kid in the playground who Apple's kind of taking pity on, and they're going, oh, I'll look after you, and I'll make sure you're okay, because they don't want anything to do with Google, really. They'd rather cut their ties with Google. So there are a lot of I think Yahoo is one of the you can set as default search in iOS, can't you? So I think they have a little bit of a thing. And
no, Google's the default search in iOS.
But you can set. You can set your default search as well to Bing or Yahoo as well, can't you?
That's true. Yeah. Yes, you can.
Yeah, and Marissa Meyer was recently pictured with Johnny Ive at a dinner very recently, wasn't she? So, talks.
Oh, naughty!
Very naughty. She's a naughty girl, isn't she?
Oh dear. Also at Disrupt this week was one Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, and he's not too happy with the U.S. government, and who can blame him, really? He's saying they've made a terrible job. frankly, I think the government blew it when it comes to how they've handled this whole NSA fiasco. He's not the least bit impressed. And now he feels that him and a lot of the other big tech companies are under pressure because the government has come out and said, it's okay, we're not spying on the Americans. Unfortunately, they're all global companies. And all the rest of us went, excuse me a minute, hang on. Now, a little while ago, America told various people not to buy Chinese phones in case they might contain spyware, but now surely the shoe's on the other foot. Why should we... Okay, Jeff, you're not including this little bit. Why should we, as Johnny Foreigners, go and use US services? Because we're just treated as potential dodgy people.
Well, I think it goes beyond... Why should you use U.S. services? Why should you use any service that in any way interconnects with the United States? Because all of it is apparently accessible to the NSA. And quite frankly, my feeling is when the NSA says, oh, don't worry, kids, we're not spying on Americans. Yeah, right. That's like the TSA saying they're not grabbing my junk when they feel up my leg. No, really. Of course, they are siphoning so much data on everyone. I can't imagine how anyone at the NSA could say with a straight face, don't worry, we're not spying on Americans. They're spying on everyone. So if it's any consolation, I'm pretty sure that pretty much everything that I say and do in this country is being logged by the NSA, just like everyone else.
Because there was a story this week that the NSA is kind of has helped to kind of put holes in encryption with like ISO and things like that, isn't there? That they've kind of
was that number generator you're talking about, the one that's used to come up with code so you can encrypt. But they're also saying at the same time, but nobody uses that service because it's completely flawed and slow.
No, but obviously, you don't know how far that goes. It's just another start, isn't it? It's another how far down the rabbit hole does that go?
Well, that's the problem now, isn't it? Now it's so muddied that we just don't trust anything.
No,
it's just ridiculous. I mean, but the
so
thing
just,
is,
so just trust everything.
Just exactly. Thing
just
is,
give up and trust everyone.
The thing that's bothersome is there's no way out of it unless you just want to unplug from the wall and go back to your little standalone computer that doesn't connect to anything and is about useful as like used to be in the 80s and stuff for just doing little personal things. What can you do? Virtually everything goes through the States.
I was going to say, Jeff's comment was really insightful, and like how you couldn't communicate with other people and you couldn't get on the web if you're trying to use something that was only served in the UK. It's probably non-existent, I'd imagine. Is there anything?
Not over here. I think, who doesn't use Google over here?
Exactly.
Or Yahoo.
It's Google, there Yahoo, you go. Apple, or Microsoft, isn't it? And they're all in the US. So, you haven't got a chance.
No. They're also, Facebook has also joined Google, Yahoo and Microsoft in filing lawsuits this week that seek permission, just permission, to disclose just the number and nature of the user data requests that they receive from the US intelligence agencies. Because people, because their businesses are suffering. People deciding not to use Google Docs and not to use, well, I'm going to personally leave Facebook in just over a week. But there's loads of services. Like you say, all your Google, your Yahoo, and Microsoft, Outlook.com, they're all out there, and they could all be vulnerable. Now, okay, so let me ask you this. Has any, in all this revelations that's gone on in the past month or so, have any of you changed your habits?
Not one bit.
Not one bit, no.
No, it's too late. But, yeah, really. But what I may do is go back and do what I did a long time ago and put an open source version of PGP into Apple Mail so that I can start doing digital signatures all the time with a system that's outside of the government purview, and then have a built-in encryption system for messages when I need it. But I haven't even done that yet. And that's mostly because so many people, the majority of people, don't use digital signatures or digital encryption. So why should I even bother trying if no one's going to be able to read my email or they're going to be completely confused when I send them something?
Yeah.
I've been on the internet so long, I've done so many bad things, I'm sure. They've already got it. So if I stop it now, it's not going to change anything.
This although I do drop little words into my communications every now and then just to screw with them. You know, every now and then I'll be going along and I'll just say jihad and then I just continue talking. And
that party was the bomb. Yeah, I know the one.
Well, did you hear about it was a little while ago about the American family who got their got a knock on the door from the NSA because of various search terms that their family had been using. It was hilarious. It's like one of them had. They were like sort of outdoorsy people, so somebody had like looked up loads of things to do with backpacks, and then somebody had looked up something to do with like they were looking at the news and they looked at something to do with jihad and all this kind of stuff. Or no, that's it, they went on Wikipedia and looked up what the term meant and stuff like that, and then the son, without them knowing, looked up how do you make a bomb.
Oh dear.
Knock knock knock.
Hello.
Yeah. Every now and then, it's interesting. Just all just those, to screw with them too.
Yeah. Just those little terms building up over time resulted in a little knock on the door.
Was there any idea how long? How long over time that was?
I think it was over a period of months, I think.
Oh my. So that's what I'm saying. So we're all pretty much online most of our spare time and stuff, and Jeff's online all the time. I can imagine his fingers are worn down to nubs this week with all the stuff he's had to run.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, I mean, if you take it out of context, whatever we say, whatever we type, whatever we communicate, it could all be just picked apart and we could all be in trouble just because we use certain words. And there was a certain words leaked, I remember, or they were exposed to the press, and some of the words were just ridiculous. And you think, why is that in there? That has no bearing on anything. And we could all accidentally just stumble across them and, as you say, get a knock on the door.
What was that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was a knock at your door. Don't worry, it's nothing.
I'm worried now.
It's a positive man, he's okay.
Because it's normally Ewan that takes the brunt, because he's the one in charge, you know, when we're doing a show. Now it's my turn, so they'll come after me.
Well, if anyone shows up at my door, my name's Ewan Rankin.
If they turn up at your door, Jeff, you're going to go, come in, for the love of God, come in.
I've got stuff to show you, this is going to be great.
Oh, dear. What's next? Google Plus now lets you do serious photo editing, but only in Chrome. Obviously, they've updated their Google Plus app. So when you load up photos now, it takes advantage of the Snapseed software that they bought a little while ago. You've got various standard sliders that you can use to increase brightness, contrast, and saturation, as well as the other selective things like creating little vignettes and drama filters and stuff like that, and it all looks to be very nice. Now, you might not have this straight away because it's apparently a fairly slow rollout. But again, they're just, to me, as you know, I'm a confirmed Google Plus addict, and I just, every bit of service they add, it's just getting better and better.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
And,
yeah.
And some of my friends still say I'm in a ghost town because they're still over on Facebook.
Yeah, but I don't do Facebook. My parents are on Facebook, so anywhere else I can go will be fine.
So you don't want them to see what you're doing?
No bloody way. But like I watched the demo video they had for the photo thing, and if it's as powerful as the video promo shows, it's actually a fantastic service. And people who aren't into things like Photoshop or anything like that, just having a online tool like that is absolutely brilliant, and it does teach people about kind of photo editing, because I think that's on the demo, it's the they take the face in the sand, don't they? There's a smiley face in the sand. They, at the end of the video, they put it onto a building, don't they? And
I'm not sure you can do that. I think that's just,
well, that's just, it's a promo,
the advert.
Oh well, it's useless then, isn't it?
Christ, if you could do that.
I was like, oh, how do I do that? I'm going to do that when it's time to go to the beach. So,
Of course, the only thing is you obviously have to upload your photos to Google Plus, which is obviously in America. So everyone's going to see what... Well, not everyone, but...
How many places do you upload your photos to?
Well, I used to do Flickr quite a fair bit, but now I have started moving them over to Google Plus. And you can still set the privacy settings. You can still have everything so only you will see it.
Yeah.
Or you can share it quite easily and stuff. And it's fast as well.
The thing is, I'd rather upload, because, you know, losing photos of the kids and things like that, I'd rather upload them to multiple locations and lose them. I don't care who's got them, really. I just want to know that if I had a problem here, I could get them back. So if Google's offering that service, is it unlimited now, Google?
You can buy additional space, but they give you quite a bit. It's not, I don't think it's 1 terabyte like Google, Yahoo, Flickr. Sorry. Flickr, yes. Went totally out of my head then. But no, I think it's coming along really well. And also I learned about Hangouts today. They've added something else to Hangouts, which we're going to get soon, and that's the ability for viewers to ask questions. And the idea is, because a lot of these politicians are now taking to Google Hangouts to do questions and little council meetings and stuff, people will be able to vote up and vote down various questions. So hopefully if the politicians get a really awkward question at the top of the pile, they can't ignore it, or they'll be seen to ignore it. That'd be nice.
So, yeah. What's new?
Oh, yes, but then everyone else will get to see the fact that they're ignoring it as well.
They do it on national television all the time. the masters at it.
Don't spoil my fun. I want to try and think they'll sit there squirming.
All right.
Yeah. I know they all get their teaching in now. But anyway.
But like you say... Google Plus is like ghost town, but it is kind of the social network that seems to do it right. It is, it has the services.
All the ghosts love it.
Well, yeah, but maybe it's the fact that there's no one on there is the reason that I like it, because the people who I really want to follow are the only people who I interact with on Google Plus, because Facebook is just a mess, really. You know, because you get so many notifications and so much rubbish, you know, all that sort of thing, and game notification, Farmville, all that sort of thing. You know, you out of Google Plus, you really just get the information that you really is relevant to you.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I used to be a massive advocate of Facebook, like a few years ago. I was trying to tell everyone, oh, you got to come on this. It's fantastic for sharing. It's fantastic for getting a community. And then the buggers all showed up.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to be on it no more.
So you're leaving Facebook then? That's.
I've got one more event that I've got to keep, just so you can do all the meeting places and various things like that, and that's next weekend. And once that's out of the way, I'm not accepting any more invites to anything. So I'm just going to go disconnected. I've disconnected most of my services, and I've made my little icon get more and more greyed out as I vanish and just like take things off. So I'm barely there now.
Eventually, you just disappear.
So, yep.
So are you? Sorry, I was going to say, are you suspending your account or are you completely erasing it?
Completely erasing it. That's the plan. That's the plan.
So how easy is it to delete your Facebook account? Is it?
Oh, we talked about this a couple of shows ago, but it's very easy to do because you just say disconnect. But then I've heard nightmare stories that if you just do that and then you've got another service that goes to it, it activates again because it thinks it's you because you've given that thing permission. So that's what I've gone through and had to deactivate all my various accounts, took all my photographs out, unchecked myself on anything, and I've got one thing left to do, and then I'm gone.
Yeah, well, you talk to me on Facebook, so you can leave.
I haven't talked to anyone on Facebook.
Yeah.
Speaking of photos, as we were a minute ago, we've now got the Nokia Lumia 1020 to launch in the UK on the 25th of September. Now, this is that huge phone from Nokia that takes the huge 41 megapixel with the 41 megapixel camera. And if you've seen the video, the pictures of this, the raw pictures of this, they look absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. And I know when I used to be on the photo show, we used to say, it doesn't matter how many megapixels you've got, it's the processing power behind it that makes the difference, stuff like that. But this has it all. I mean, some of the stills I've seen of this are, as I say, simply stunning. It's so stunning, in fact, that photos taken with the Lumia will feature in a forthcoming edition of the National Geographic magazine. So they must be good.
Wow.
Exactly. Now, there was obviously lots of press about another camera that came out this week, but this, I think this is going to go quite well. I mean,
it's going to be a niche product. That's my
Why'd you say that?
It's a Windows phone, for a start.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll do. No.
That's good enough. It's a Windows phone.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I honestly think a lot of people, other than people who really specifically want to get it, will be put off by that kind of raised back where the camera bit comes out. It's going to be a pain in the backside. You're like going to have to lie your phone down on its face all the time.
Yeah, and all different companies.
Well, that's right. If you lay it down on its back, it's a wobbly.
Yep. A wobbly.
Yeah. But all different companies just been bought out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bought out by Microsoft, so it's not going to go anywhere soon anyway.
Nokisoft.
Nokisoft. No, it's not going to go anywhere at all. I think that this is the beginning of the end for the Nokia smartphones. Microsoft's not going to be able to manage that product line very well, I think. And I think that the mobile division of Nokia getting bought by Microsoft is like Palm getting bought by HP.
Hmm. But there's also that thing with, obviously, talking about camera phones, is obviously with Microsoft buying Nokia. Are companies like Carl Zeiss, who are obviously doing the kind of optics on the phones, going to want to deal with Microsoft?
Why wouldn't they?
It sounds to them,
isn't it? So.
No, but there are other manufacturers out there who go to Android. Carl Zeiss says, well, okay, we had a partnership with Nokia who are no longer with us.
But Carl Zeiss make lenses for virtually everyone. I mean, virtually everything has got a Carl Zeiss lens on it.
Yeah, I know, but obviously that was always kind of Nokia's kind of thing. We have a Carl Zeiss lens. You know, it was a bit of a selling point. Mm. Do they want to be associated with Microsoft? Was that an exclusive partnership with Nokia? Does that come with part of the sale? Does that exclusive partnership come with them?
Well, I think, for example, Carl Zeiss will probably look at Microsoft and go, they're a slightly bigger company than Nokia. Mm. So we're probably okay, safe to say, just to stay with them for now anyway. But no, I think Microsoft have to really push. And now with Ballmer on his way out, whoever comes in knows that they've got to face this new mobile future. They just redone all their company and stuff. And although the new guy might come in and do it again, because most of the people apparently don't know who they're meant to be reporting to still at the moment. So there's some big changes coming at Microsoft, and all they need is that visionary leader to get in there. And it might well be that Elop guy from Nokia who may take over the reins.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what everyone's anticipating. But we'll have to see. But I do not think, because it's the only, because I think HTC and Samsung make Windows phones as well, but they don't really push them. They push their Android devices. So this is why Microsoft have got to push Nokia, and they, if they want to succeed in any shape, way, or form, and they've got the money to succeed, because they've just got oodles and oodles of money, so they can foul a few times, at least for a few years, in fact, but they can still gradually build up their products. But the thing I think they're battling is not, it's just brand awareness.
Yeah. But like some of the rumours since the buyout of Nokia is that Microsoft bought Nokia because they were thinking about going to Android. Where do you think Nokia would be if they went with Android? With their hardware and Android software, would they be a bit of a bigger player?
Well, everyone says, well, Nokia was the big player, used to make fantastic hardware back in the day, but its software was always a bit lacking. So if it had gone Android's way a few years ago, I really think by now you would have had a really good phone. But if they went, if they wasn't bought by Microsoft and they just decided to go to Android, they'd be starting from 2 years back and have to play catch-up very fast.
Yeah, but then, you know, look at HTC, they had a little bit of a kind of little time in the wilderness. They released HTC One, which is undoubtedly a fantastic phone after releasing droves of not fantastic phones, and it has really caught on. If Nokia could release a handset that was of the standard of the One with Android, maybe they could be a player.
I suspect if you just had stock Android running on this phone, it would sell like gangbusters, to be quite honest.
Well, some people have said that, actually. So I have heard that said. So, but no, it's going to be a Microsoft product, and they're going to push it. And maybe this is the last one from Nokia, since they've gone under the Microsoft umbrella. But I'm interested to see what they bring out in future, because, well, once they've gone through all their massive changes and they finally got themselves a new CEO, and hopefully he's got some vision. Because I used to be a massive Microsoft fan back in the day.
I think they need
younger blood than myself. I don't know.
What, some little punk kid going, yeah, it's what we do, right?
Yeah, this is this is like well crap, isn't it?
That Windows 9, it'd be Dell dope.
We want bitching phones, not this poop.
we should stop doing that.
Yes,
I'm intrigued. I like this new vision for Microsoft.
Yeah. What about somebody like Elon Musk? Would he have a take on something like this?
I wouldn't imagine so. He's off doing much more blue sky type things. No, he wants to build.
No, he's Iron Man. What I mean. He doesn't need to do it.
But that's what I mean. I think they need somebody like that with that kind of like forward thinking, sort of visionary. Like, screw what we're doing now, this is where we need to be.
I don't think Microsoft wants someone like that.
No. Oh, well, that, which more is unfortunate. The pity them.
Yeah.
Yeah, more the pity them.
Well, we got to see. We'll see, won't we? In the next, hopefully not too long. Now Balmer's, like, going. He's pretty much a lame duck at the moment, unfortunately. So they've got to get something going on there. Another Google story. Google expands the Chromebook family with new Intel Haswell hardware from Toshiba, Asus, and a few other companies, actually. Now, these Chromebooks, when they originally came out, I couldn't see why they were useful. But now, with all the revelations, as I say, that's gone on in our first story, second story, NSA, I no longer want to take my computer to the States. I'd rather just take a Chromebook with nothing on it so they can't find anything incriminating. So that's one usage I can see from straight away now. Apparently these are pretty popular in schools, because obviously you just log into Google Docs and you can have all your coursework and schoolwork there. And some offices as well, because you can't really get viruses on them, because you just shut it down and start up again and you've got a fresh install virtually ready to go. Anyone had a tinker with a Chromebook?
I do know someone who knows someone at the Google campus, and they brought a Chromebook back. But I do everything in Chrome, really, on my Mac, on my iPad Mini, on my phone. Everything syncs, and it doesn't actually matter in Linux as well. It doesn't actually matter which operating system I'm in, because I'm in Chrome. I can do everything I need to do. It's actually the way it syncs across, you know, platforms is absolutely fantastic. And as long as you've got an internet connection, I can see a real kind of need for a computer like that, because you don't need anything local anymore, because a lot of people might not be cloud advocates, but I certainly am, and almost of it is in the cloud, and having something that I can access anywhere is absolutely fantastic.
What do you reckon, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a future for them, definitely, and the nice bits of kit. I know somebody who was at the Google Glass thing, and they handed out some new Chromebooks there, didn't they?
The Pixel, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he said that was a beautiful machine. You know, really, really good bit of kit. So
over £1,000, though, I think that bit.
That's the problem, and that's exactly what he said. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. But it's far too expensive. But you know, he said it was very, very good and very well built. I think a lot of things might go that way in the future. But we need more ubiquitous interconnections and better speeds before we do, I think.
Absolutely, Jeff. Any views?
I'm not a big fan of the whole Chrome thing, but it's because I'm not a big fan of Microsoft's services. And that comes from installing Microsoft apps on my Mac, that when I would shut off things like auto-updating, it would continue to do that. I got to the point where I don't trust Google's services.
But you won't have to do. There's no updates to do anything like that on a Chromebook.
That doesn't matter. I don't trust Google anymore.
Oh, okay. They
lost my trust. So, yeah, and I get concerned about some of the practices where they'll take over a market, and then like they did with RSS, and then everyone's dependent on them, and then they kill off what they've created. And I just, I have a hard time relying on Google for business critical services.
Yeah, it is a worrying aspect of Google, that, because you do sort of think, oh God, you know, they could pull the plug on this at any point. I'm not keen to jump into anything unless it looks like, you know, pretty solid, and you know, like Gmail and stuff like that. You know, they're not going to take that away. But if the smaller things.
There's lots of services in the tech world that just vanish overnight for various reasons.
True.
So I know it's very
annoying. But if you are the dominant player for whatever that service is, and you've made a point to kill off everyone else that provides a similar service, and then you just get rid of yours, now you're being a dick.
Yeah.
And that's what Google's been doing.
The RSS one was a big surprise when they announced that, I got to admit.
Like Google Reader?
Yeah, but yeah, it was. I mean, but it didn't take, fortunately, it didn't take long for other companies to hop right back into its place and take up the reins again.
Which is good, but still, all of a sudden we had all these developers scrambling to create alternatives when it would have been nice if they just didn't have to do that in the first place.
So what were you using browser-wise? Because I'm Chrome on everything, so...
Yeah, I've gone Chrome.
I'm so obscure. I use OmniWeb on the Mac, and... yeah, I know.
I've never even heard of it.
No, exactly. Yeah,
but it's a great browser, and it's a WebKit-based browser. I really like it a lot. And then, of course, on my iPhone and iPad, I'm using Mobile Safari.
Richard?
A mixture, really, of Chrome and Safari. More and more Chrome, I would say, though.
I always used to laugh when you used to put on Windows 7 and it used to do the boot up screen, and you could pick what browser you wanted to install. And some of them, obviously, known like Firefox and Google and Safari. But there were some some that I'd never even heard of with the weirdest names.
Yeah.
I always wanted to try them out. I never had the guts to. And I also wanted to take off every other browser and just leave this like unknown one on, and give it back to a customer and go, there you go, it's done.
I think it would be awesome if one of the options was Lynx. That'd be the only thing you install is Lynx.
That'd be good. Oh, dear.
And somewhere out there, there's a neckbeard laughing at that.
Yes, we're all bearded. Poor Richard, he's the only one on that beard. He's like clean cut, so you can tell he's a doctor. You can tell he's a doctor.
That's dirty, boy. I was just asked in the chat room what people use, and it's a mix of Chrome and Safari so far. So
no IEs.
Oh, but Fort uses SeaMonkey. No,
I did see
SeaMonkey, yes.
No, Batwench uses IE.
What?
When she has to work.
Yeah, does somebody here uses IE?
Yeah, no, if you're in enterprise, you have to use IE. It's horrible.
Now, Google have obviously been hit by lots of takedown notices, but there's one takedown notice they're just simply refusing to do, unlike some of our ISPs in this country. It seems they are refusing, they've refused a request from BPI to take down the Pirate Bay.
How dare they?
It's fine for our services to do it, because they've just carried on, they just took it away.
But isn't this fundamentally, they're asking them to hide it, effectively, from the search engine?
Remove it from Google, effectively, yes.
Yeah, and I think they're damn right not to do that.
It's not their job to do it.
It's like somebody taking an OS map and saying, take Ben Nevis out, then we don't want that. I just, it is, for better or for worse, it is a part of the internet. And I just think that's wrong to hide it.
It would be. As you say, it would be like taking Norfolk off the map, no matter. Yeah.
Yes, there's good things and bad things in that, aren't there?
but the troubling thing is, I've got a bloody advert playing now, damn it. I've come off that page, sorry about that.
Better, Matthews. Yeah,
it's the BPI, British phonograph industry, that's asking for it again. It's our little lot over here. They're damn cheeky.
They just want to get with a flipping program, don't they, really? That's the thing. They're so stuck in the past. I mean, for God's sakes, the kids aren't downloading half the time now, are they? They're using YouTube and stuff like that to watch all the music and stuff, and they've got apps that can download videos off YouTube onto their iOS devices and things like that. So
but on download, the figures on download music, they're up, aren't they? Because
paid to download music, yeah, it's gone up.
Yeah, because they're coming into a world where music is more accessible. The prices are coming down. Things like Spotify and Xbox Music was released for iOS this week, and
we do seem to have wandered into this situation where music is now considered just a thing. It's been cheapened so much, I believe, by things like supposedly talent shows on telly that are not rigged in the slightest, right? And it's just been downgraded. The majority of music has just been downgraded to something that's on in the background, and that its worth has been degraded. So the kids, as you say, youth and various people, and adults, I'm not just blaming it at a kid's door, they just see that music is free and it's available and it's out there, and you're absolutely right, you can go to YouTube and you can just stream music video after music video after music video. You don't need to listen to it on your device no more. It's not, unless you're on a desert island, you can normally get connectivity somewhere, and even if the video's rubbish, the music normally sounds fine.
So I think
they need to join the 21st century, and that is embrace this thing called the internet and stop trying to cower it.
Well, they haven't got tape recorders to record the charts on a Sunday afternoon, have they? Like we used to do. And stop the tape before the DJ started talking.
Have you ever done that thing where, I've started using Spotify a lot, and so because you've kind of paid for it and that's it, you can go and just look up like really cruddy songs from years ago, because you're not going to have to pay for it. And it's just really funny to like listen and go, oh, that's what the start of it sounded like. Because the DJs have always talked over the beginning of it or the end of it, or is that what it was?
I went back and looked at the Wurzels.
Yeah.
Jeff, anything you... sorry, I just caught you as you drank a bottle of water.
That's all right. Well, you're assuming this is water.
Yes.
And we'll just leave it at that. Tell me about the Wurzels.
The Wurzels. Oh, there was them. How can you explain the Wurzels? They were like country bumpkins, and they'd sing about their combine harvester, saying, oh, I've got a brand new combine harvester. I'll send you the link to one of their songs.
I would love to hear that, because at this point, this is now the key point in the show for me. I, I'm suddenly intrigued by the Wurzels. Is that it?
Yeah.
Wurzels.
What were the Wurzels?
Can we insert that into the show? Can we?
Can anyone in the chat room, if they want to like try and take to YouTube for a minute and try and find a link, a Wurzels link for Jeff, that would be fantastic.
That would be awesome. I love every one of you.
I bet you got your show title.
Yes. I wonder what a Wurzel was.
Yes.
Oh, Kickstarter, our good old friend Kickstarter. Apparently he's adding Australia and New Zealand to his ever-expanding international crowdfunding network. So now the likes of Paul Hogan, I suppose, and our good old Pete in the chat room can now fund or start projects, isn't it? Because anyone can fund them from anywhere in the world, I think. You just couldn't start them yourself. Now, has anyone used Kickstarter? I've never personally funded anything, I don't think.
I've funded my first thing recently. It's fully funded or whatever, and it's coming. So
they've got to take your money now.
Yeah, they took it. So hopefully I'll get something.
So, of course, you know what you're going to ask. What did you fund?
It's not that exciting. I just really like the look of it. It's a very minimalist, simple wallet. Basically, it's made from.
Was it the metal wallet?
Yes.
The machine dollar. Really cool. Yes.
Machine era wallet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, link that, one. Please.
You I what? Don't need...
Put a link for that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll try and find it for you.
See, I don't need a wallet, I've got nothing to put in it.
Well, that's the whole point, it's a minimalist wallet, so it would suit you perfectly.
Perfect, yeah.
You just carry an empty wallet.
Now, do we think Kickstarter's a good idea? Because before this came along, there was nothing out there. You had to go to various big manufacturing companies and plead your case, but now you make a classy looking video, you stick it online, and hopefully you'll get enough funding and then go off and find machine shops and make a prototype and push it out and go through that whole process. Now a number of them fail, but a number of them go on to be success stories.
I think it's a great idea personally, because yeah, all right, this isn't anything groundbreaking, but there's quite a few little things you see on Kickstarter, because I've downloaded the Kickstarter app, and I like to have a little browse through it now and then, see what's out there. And there's some proper little kind of niche products that would never make it. If they tried to make it in the normal kind of commercial world, they wouldn't get anywhere. And I think it's nice that they have an opportunity to do that.
But they understand the demand before they kind of commit any kind of funds as well. That's the good thing about it, isn't it?
You know
the people actually want it before they actually... You know, going to manufacturing, a lot of products go into manufacturing and no one buys it. So it's great to know that people wouldn't put the money down even before the product's released. That's probably a really good thing.
For some things, I believe they've changed the rules, because I think to some extent now you do have to have, so say it's like a technology thing or whatever, I think you do have to have a working prototype before you're allowed to put it on Kickstarter. Oh, really? Whereas before you could just have a drawing on an A4 pad. Now they're not accepting that kind of thing. They want to show that you can actually remotely do the thing that you're saying you can do. So,
isn't it a shame patents don't work that way?
Yeah.
Jeff, have you ever used Kickstarter?
No. And I don't have a good reason why. Because I go and look at so many things and I think, I should really fund that. And then I never do. And the one time I was just about ready to drop money in was on Pebble. And I'm really glad I didn't, because I would have been among the people that was bitching and moaning about why I didn't get my Pebble, and then they start showing up Best Buy instead, and I would have been all pissed off. So I'll do it someday. I almost did it on that little wallet also, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Did they get the funding, Richard, by the way?
Yeah. They did.
Oh,
well and truly. Let me have a look. They wanted $8,000. They got $250,000.
So do they take your money right away, or do you pledge and then they take the money at the end of the...
You pledge, and then they're allowed to take your money after they've hit their goal, basically.
And so, is there a guarantee you will get a product?
No,
there
is not.
No, yeah, Don. I asked that question to Don once before, and he said, if a certain amount of time goes by and you still haven't got product, you have the right to like put a claim in and ask for your money back.
Right.
But no, there's no guarantee you'll ever get anything back.
So you wouldn't put your money into a company that suddenly went bust and you'd lose your investment.
But they have a nice load of Ferraris. People do it all the
time. Oh, yeah.
But on the whole...
That's why I chose something a little like this for my first bit. Stab it, see how it went, because I mean, I don't think there's any question that they're going to be able to make this particular thing. So
you've done the minimalist amount for the minimalist wallet.
Yeah.
Nice.
How appropriate.
So, some synergy there. Mm. So, Jeff, I believe you've probably seen someone sent you a link now. Do you know what a Wurzel is now?
Yes, I only watched a few seconds because I knew if I continued to watch, I'd just be out of the show because I'd be looking at the screen over here completely riveted. And the song is really about combines. That's would awesome.
Would I have lied to you, Jeff? Come on.
Oh, no. I thought maybe there was something lost in the British to English or American translation on what combine really meant, and no, it really means that. Yeah. So thank you, Bat Wench, for dropping a link.
Yeah, absolutely.
You rock.
You just need a liter of cider now. That's all you need.
I've done a few hits. I'm sure once you get down that YouTube tunnel, you're going to just keep discovering hit after hit.
There's the link to that Kickstarter. I'll put it in the chat.
Excellent. Now, last week on the Mac Show, we had Adam Christensen on, and his pick was second screen apps for your iPad. So if you're watching, say, a Disney film like The Avengers or one of the animated ones, you would have the details appear on your pad because it syncs over the audio, and it works lovely. And I jokingly said to him, yeah, but I hope they never, ever do that at cinemas. This week, Disney wants you to bring your iPad to The Little Mermaid in the cinema.
They heard you.
Yeah. Worst idea ever.
Ever, yeah. Yeah. Without question.
So what they're doing is they're re-releasing the 1989 classic Little Mermaid, and they're encouraging people to download the second screen live app onto their iPads, bring them into the theatre, and join in the fun. Oh, God.
The thing is, I've watched the video of this. It looks terrible. It just and the whole concept of it is like you're there to watch the film, yeah. Not mess up. Oh God! How? Yeah. I mean, the human brain is not good at multitasking. No matter how much we try to con ourselves that we can do it, we're not very good at it. It's okay for doing stuff like, I don't know, like counting things whilst you've got a bit of music on in the background or something like that. But for something that takes your most of your nervous system, you've got your vision going there, you've got your ears involved, you've got your emotions involved in the movie as well, you've got a cognitive process going on there, understanding the plot and the movie, and then you're going to try and play a game at the same time. It's insane.
Yeah, but you can film it and put it on the torrent site, that's fine.
Oh, don't give them that idea.
Yeah, how are they going to stop that? That's interesting. Yeah,
back-facing camera, there you go.
I'm playing the game, Yeah, I just really worry for kids and their attention span. Like, they're going to think this is okay.
You worry for humanity, don't you?
I worry for humanity, I do.
Yeah. Now, you just brought up something that I think is a big thing, in addition to worrying about humanity. If people are being encouraged to download this app and then go to a movie theater with their iPad and watch the movie with their iPad out, how are we ever going to get people to stop using their damn cell phone through a whole movie?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not, there's not their talking, it's the fact that you're sitting there in the pitch dark and some blighter opens it up and there's this big blob of white suddenly fills your vision.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I mean, they're talking about a whole cinema full. When we were at Disneyland, we went on the evening to watch the lovely fireworks display that they do as the park's closing. And it was incredible. Except, right next to us, we had three tourists shoving their bloody iPads up in the air, and I was nearly blinded by the light coming off them. And I was like, I can't enjoy the fireworks because you've got these flipping massive screens.
Don't you start me with people who take photographs with iPads, don't you?
Was you blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douchey or whatever that is in the middle of the night.
Yeah, honestly, God.
You do not take photographs with iPads. That's the rule. You
don't. That is...
Yeah, it should be a rule. It should be a law.
No, it is a rule.
It is.
Plus, you left out the fact all these kids are probably going to be hopped up on Skittles and stuff as well. So,
and you've had Facebook friend requests from so and so, and Twitter update from so and so, and all that sort of stuff going on as well.
Yeah, it's all going to be popping up at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, that's
stupid,
a big kind of awesome
stupid
right
idea.
There.
Yeah, in the middle of the film, someone's going to put Gangnam Style on your screen.
I hope the parents get, instead of like 3D goggles when they walk in, I hope they get earplugs. Bless them. Oh, dear. Now, Nissan has launches a Nismo smartwatch for their drivers. Apparently, this is a little smartwatch. Obviously, it goes on your wrist, and it talks to your Nissan Leaf, and you can get it to do things. Or the idea is to get it to do things, like so... You can get it to start up as you walk towards your car. You can get it to lock up, get it to open the sunroof. Now, apparently, they already do an app for various smartphones that does this already. But what this watch can start to do as well is it can monitor your health, and it can detect if you're nodding off while you're behind the wheel, or if you suddenly get ill, or you're feeling ill, or something's going wrong, and notify you about that. So, some pretty interesting safety features built into it, I think.
Do you think it shoves two small metallic spikes into your wrist when you start?
That would certainly get my attention. But no, I think, as if it alerts you in some way and keeps you concentrated on the road and safety, I think that's good.
How does it alert? Distract you.
Exactly. How does it alert you?
I got to assume it buzzes or something.
It's like, oh my God, what's that? And then you're like... That's it.
And now you're looking at your watch and not the road.
No, you haven't got these thoughts.
Richard, you are about to die.
What? Or how about you're home with the flu, you're throwing up, and your watch starts to say, "Excuse me, Jeff, you appear to be sick. I don't think you should be driving anymore."
Well, that's the thing. You could sell it so if you are ill or intoxicated, I don't think you can do intoxication, but that would be another. If it can measure your alcohol blood levels, that would be fantastic. But perhaps the car just would not start if you're not well enough to drive.
That'd be very clever.
It would every be, morning, then.
Every morning. That's that bad, is it, Paul?
I don't drive, so I'm fine.
What is it, horse? Car?
It's not going to be a big show without a Norfolk joke, is it?
Oh, dear. No, I think it's an interesting thing. I mean, wearable technology, that's the buzzword for the years coming up, everyone thinks. So, we could all be like Kit, because Michael Knight used to control Kit with his watch, I remember, in the old days, I'm sure
yeah,
I did.
But Kit did good things. He could jump
Kit
everything.
Was cool.
Yeah, and he could jump over things without a ramp, even though he had one.
There's always an available bush nearby. That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah, but I mean, no. if there's a Nissan Leaf that does a turbo boost, then fine.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
You're a very jaded collection of people, that's all.
And he can record everything to audio cassette. That's fine. I can live with that.
It's a very nice watch, you know, that nobody will buy for a car that nobody's buying. Fantastic.
Oh, no, hang on. You're
it's the perfect accessory.
You don't live in California. These are big in California, I think. Not as big as the other one. I've mentioned him earlier. I've forgotten his name. Damn it. Tesla.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw two Nissan Leafs in one commute. I was tweeting the other day. I saw, whoa. That's amazing.
Yeah. Leaf it alone.
Oh
very
God
good.
Almighty. And last pop story is Samsung's in a bit of trouble because they've been naughty again, nicking people's ideas. And this time it's not the usual suspect. Yeah, this time it's not the usual suspect. This time it's Dyson. Don't mess with the Dyson.
I was going to say, they really shouldn't mess with them.
That's it. Come along.
They're going to have them.
Apparently it's something to do with the steering mechanism in the cleaner. And apparently, Dyson is saying Samsung has basically just completely ripped us off.
Well, in the picture, it kind of looks exactly like one, doesn't it?
It does.
Barring the different colours, you could easily mistake that for a Dyson without question.
Dyson alleges that the machine infringes its patent on a steering mechanism for cylinder cleaners. Samsung has rejected its rival's accusation. We will take all necessary measures, including legal action, to protect our technological innovation against Dyson's groundless claims, said the spokesman.
I think Dyson are pretty good lawyers, don't they?
They do. They won a court case a little while ago. I'm not sure who it was against. I can't see it. But about the cylinder whirly things that actually suck up the dirt. So they are, they're good in court. A triple cyclone cleaners. It was they won £600,000.
I'm really surprised that Samsung would get hit with the lawsuit for copying someone else's product.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
It's just so out of character.
I know.
I think they got so much money, they're just going to wing it, aren't they? They're always going to wing it.
Yeah.
Now, we're just going to mention shortly, quickly, the iPhones, the new iPhones, because I know it's the big show, I know we're not meant to, but it's a big technology story. We've got to do more in-depth tomorrow in the Mac show. But I just want to go through the panel here and see what they thought of what we were shown on Tuesday. So, Jeff, what was your impressions of the 5S and the 5C?
Okay, on the 5C, I looked at it and I went, Christ, that's ugly. But I think it's going to be a fantastic seller. I don't think Apple's going to be able to make them fast enough. I think people are just going to eat that phone up. I just won't. The 5S, I need to look at my upgrade eligibility on my current iPhone 5, because if I'm at a point where I can get the subsidized price, I need to pick me up one of those. I really like the iPhone 5S.
Do you know, the thing that struck me when the pictures came up, it's the 5C cover, the Crocs cover, I like to call it. Oh, my God, that thing is awful.
There's so the much wrong with that.
The concept is great. The implementation is disastrous.
Mm. Well, I mean, Paul, sorry, go on, Jeff.
Okay, so the concept, you have phones with several different colored backs. You have all of these cases with cutouts in them, and the cases are multiple colors. So you can mix and match the cases with the phones and make a color combination that's distinctly you. That's a really great idea. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's like sticking your iPhone in a Croc shoe. That's really, first time someone said that, I'm like, yep, that's it right there. But that phone's going to sell so well.
The other thing that gets me about it is that the design of that thing, the two things that struck me was I couldn't believe that they would design it in such a way that you could only kind of partly see the writing on the back of the phone through it. That just looks really sloppy for Apple.
That was very sloppy.
Yeah, and them holes are just going to get full of crud in your pocket, aren't they? They're just going to get grime and dirt and dust, and it's going to be a pain to try and clean something like that. Nope. Don't like them.
Oh, Batwitch is suggesting in the chat room, the Croc cover looks like the phone may heat up, hence the holes. Ventilation holes. Possibly. What do you think, Paul? What's your opinion?
Well, I enjoy an Apple keynote like a Christmas Day kind of thing, especially iPhone time, and I'm out of contract, and I at the end of it, I thought it was the coal and the orange kind of Christmas present, because I was just like, so disappointed. So much so that a couple of hours at I'm a 4S user at the moment. I'm eligible for contract. And I just ordered an iPhone 5. One, because it's now free. And because I can't see the point in a fingerprint reader or a motion sensor or any of that. I just want a phone that's a phone. And I couldn't see the point. If we're going to upgrade, and I know you've been ribbing me for about a year about not having an iPhone 5, but I thought if I'm going to have a better phone than I've got now, because stocks are running low, I'm going to get a better phone, and it's free. I don't like the plastic case on the 5C. I'd rather have the nice metallic case on a 5, and it's a free phone.
Hey, where'd you get it for free?
I'm on 3 in the UK, and as part of my upgrade, the iPhone 5 is free.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, and I just thought, well, why wait to the 20th and get the 5C? Because it's the same internals, plastic case. I'd rather have the aluminium back and get a 5. The 5S I don't see the point in, because I don't mind typing 6 numbers into my phone when I need to unlock it. I really don't mind. As part of where I work, we're locked to exchange, and we have type 6 numbers in. There's not enough in the 5S that it's going to make me pay 100, and I think it's going to be 150 quid or something like that. I'd rather upgrade to a better phone than I've got now and not pay a penny for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my upgrade strategy now. I ordered it this evening, and it's going to arrive on Saturday. I'm more than happy.
You're going to love it. It's a great phone.
Yeah. Thing is, my 4S, I could probably run for another year, even with iOS 7. The 4S is a great phone, and Apple obviously think it's a great phone because they're keeping the 4S at an 8-gig model. You know, it is still a great phone, and it's fast enough, it's more powerful enough, the camera's good enough, but I'm going to get an upgrade for nothing. I'm not going to get a 5C, which is the same phone with the plastic back, and pay 100 quid for it.
No, you'll enjoy that 5. I mean, that's good. That's a good upgrade. So, I mean, it didn't look like they'd done much to it, but internally, they'd done masses of changes to the 5. And you also have the unique thing of saying, this is now discontinued, this phone. You can't get this anywhere else.
Yeah, I retro. Gone.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you'll still have iOS 7 on there, so effectively it will be... It will look like a completely new phone as well.
But what is new in the 5S apart from the M7 motion sensor? It's so much faster, but was the 5 that slow?
No, but this is double the speed. There's some speed specs on the site, and it does look quite impressive until we see it for ourselves.
Yeah.
You can watch the videos, and they look impressive. You can see the demonstration, it looks impressive. But until
how fast do you want your phone to be?
Whoa, that's the thing, 64-bit. What are they doing that for? There's no real need currently for it to be 64-bit. But
Apple always thinks long-term with their products. So if they're giving a 64-bit today, on the 20th, there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Mm. See, I used to be an S guy. I had an iPhone 1. I missed the 3G. I got the 3GS, missed the 4, got the 4S. And I'm getting disappointed with the S line, so I'm going to be a number guy. So I'm going to be iPhone 5.
So you're going to be a tick.
iPhone 6.
A tick, yeah, because as opposed to the tock.
I am. And there's a lot more excitement around being the tick guy.
Oh, yeah, it's almost like the big change. Because the other one is just, they normally stay with the same chassis design and, they bump the specs. So.
Yeah, so I'll bump myself into a zone where I'm going to become the guy who gets the new chassis and the new updated features and all that sort of thing. I'm fed up with being an S guy.
So you're going to be the 5, is that a 2-year contract you're getting?
I am going to, I've got bought it outright because I get
that's
cheap.
That's fair way to do it.
Yeah, and then next year if an iPhone 6 comes out, then I can basically sell, dump, and get the new phone. I'm fed up of being stuck on the old phone. And you give me grief anyway, Mr. Madden.
Of course I do. Well, Paul, if you want that iPhone 5 or the 5S or maybe the 5C, maybe it could do wonders for the 5C as well, we'll have to see. You can enter our 12 South High-Rise competition, the competition where you can win a high-rise for the iPhone or the iPad Mini. Being from 12 South, it is absolutely beautiful to look at. It's all brushed silver. I've got my one around here somewhere over there, but I had to buy mine. You can win yours. And all you have to do to win is send an email in to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com with the subject as 12 South Competition and answer this simple question. In what year was 12 South established? Get your answers in, and next week Ewan will pull the winner and you could be the proud owner of a brand new 12 South high-rise stand. Really nice piece of kit. This network wouldn't exist without the continuing support from UK2.net. If you like to help this very network, then please head on over to our website at britishtechnetwork.com and click the UK2.net banner and explore some of the wonderful services like web hosting, dedicated servers, domain names, VPN, and many other things that they have available at great, great prices. However, if you want your prices to be even better, then just head on back to our site and click on our sponsors page and you will find a number of offer codes that can get you even more money off. Without the support of UK2.net, we couldn't continue to bring you all the shows on this very network. So please, UK2.net support them because they support us. Cool. Now, guys, it's time for the cool things. Jeff, you got a cool thing for us?
I do. My cool thing was going to be like a public service announcement. So I'll just do that part anyhow. So if you're in an area like I am right now where you have severe weather hazards, look on Twitter and see if your area has an emergency alert Twitter account. So in my case, I'm following, it's called Boulder NWS, which is Boulder National Weather Service. And so it's National Weather Service alerts for Boulder County, which is actually very near where I am. And then I'm also following the Larimer County Sheriff's Department, which is where I am. And so I'm getting Twitter updates and that are giving me information about everything that's happening around me faster than I can get anywhere else. So there's your public service announcement. My cool thing, though, is Reader 2, which is an iPhone and iPad app. It's a really great RSS reader app, and it was, in my opinion, the best before Google shut down Google Reader and killed off everything. Mm-hmm. And now it's back as of today, and it syncs with all of the other RSS services that have come up to replace Google Reader. It has a great interface and links up with any of the social networking services that you could possibly want to use. And it's really nice. So it's $5 US dollars. So I'm assuming with the exchange rate in the UK, that means it's like 50 pence or something.
Pretty close.
Yeah, but it's a really cool app.
So if they... How have they updated it? What's the difference between Reader 1 and 2?
The interface has been cleaned up, mm-hmm. and now it does syncing between a ton of RSS services. And there you go. Those are the big things right there.
Good, good, good. Paul, what you got for us?
Well, it's a Windows-only app before I start, so I apologize to all those Mac users out there. But
that's good, because all the rest of us have picked iOS apps.
Oh, there you go. But like yourself, I'm a big Plex advocate, and I've got a lot of media. And obviously, as you know, Plex does do a lot of cleaning up of your media, but things like iTunes and other media services don't do such a good job. MediaMonkey, which is a Windows app, is basically analyzes all of your content and compares its databases online using Amazon and all sorts of databases over the world. But you can kind of scan your media and it links to databases, but it will auto-correct all of your MP3 files, video files, all that sort of stuff, but also update the tags. So you know you've got a problem sometimes if you import an album into iTunes and it isn't exactly how it would read it. It comes up with dodgy album art.
The metadata.
Yeah, metadata. So it basically goes in, it searches the database, gives you a kind of selection of similar matches. You find the one that it matches your album or your video, and it'll then basically meta tag your media and actually rewrite it on your server. And then obviously next time iTunes or Plex reads it, it actually reads it correctly. So there's a free version and a premium version. The premium version doesn't really give anything, so the free version is worth a look anyway. But if you're looking to kind of clean up your media library, it's well worth a look.
Now, you are aware that Plex is its own built-in one, aren't you?
Yes, but obviously Plex does, like as I said, Plex does a good job, but iTunes and other services don't do such a good job.
Sorry, yes, okay, you're absolutely right there, yes.
So, obviously, if you think of iTunes, obviously you can go through Plex and you can obviously go through and say, actually, it's this album. But things like iTunes don't give you suggestions. So if you really want to clean up all of your media for every kind of service, well worth a look just giving it a scan. For the free version, it does clean up really well.
And is there a limit on what free can do? Like, is it like 15 days or something?
No, nothing at all. You can. I think the premium version will scan your entire library all in one go. But I think the free version, you go by folder or album by album. But I'd prefer to do that to make sure it gets the right matches anyway. So,
okay. Richard, what you got for us?
It's just a little game I really enjoyed playing called Rock Runners for iOS. It's a side-on scroller game. It's not one of the kind of endless runner ones. There's a definite start and finish. And I just really like it. It's a chill-and-go game. The graphics are really nice. The music's quite catchy on it. And then it's just kind of that nice sort of bite-sized kind of game. It is one of these kind of freemium ones. But actually, I've got quite far into it without ever having to buy a single thing. So you don't need to buy any of the stuff, really. I'd definitely check it out. It's really good.
Good, good, good. See, it's one of those games where I have to be really careful how I pronounce it, because otherwise it comes out Rock Runners. It's got one of those.
There could be some really inappropriate jokes we could make about that, but we're not going to.
Stop it. My one is one I picked before, but I'm picking it again because now an iPhone version is out, and it's Read Quick, which is another word I have to say very carefully. And all it is it's for if you want to speed read through various articles that you've saved on things like Instapaper or Pocket. And what it does is, I'll just show you here, hopefully. So what it does is it just puts one word at a time onto the screen really fast. And this is how I read the various show things. So I'll just start that tapping. And as you can see, that is now scanning through at 400 words a minute. And you take it in. It sticks in your head because you're getting rid of that voice that reads text. And you're just getting the images in your head. You're getting the images of the words form in your head. And it's really powerful. And you can tear through articles and you can go up even faster. You can go up to, I think it's 800 words a minute, and it absolutely flies through.
You're right, I can read that, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, this is $2.99 in the App Store, and it's, like I say, a universal app, and Paul's reading it. Look, I can see
him. Yeah, I know, yeah.
And,
I was reading that.
And like I say, it's very good, and it's a universal app, and it's really, and you can get faster and faster. The more you use it, the faster you get, and you take in the information, and it you retain it. It's fantastic. And it's how I prepare for all the various shows that I'm on. I just lay back, line them up, and do this.
Yeah, don't
stop. Paul's still reading.
Yeah. Stay there. Stay right. No. Don't laugh. It cuts away. No.
I'm sure. I'm getting done for like copyright here, but there you go. It's a very good app. Very good. Sorry, Paul. You have to download it and try it yourself. But
The way this works is someone finds an article and then holds it up to their camera so someone else can read it.
We could do it. Yeah, right? We could be like a mass reading.
Can you do it like a Harry Potter hangout and get sued?
I was going to ask you to try one of your stories, Jeff, on it, but I forgot. So I just picked a random one there. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Good stuff. Right, that's our show. All that remains is, where can we get hold of everyone? Jeff, where can we get hold of you?
Well, you can find me at macobserver.com, and you can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut on both services. You can find me on a ton of podcasts like Apple Context Machine, and we have Communicators, and here on The Big Show and on The Comic Show. And you can also find me at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about all the stuff I see happening in coffee shops. Oh, and a plug. I need to do a plug. If you happen to be in Denver on September 18th, come down to the Paramount Theater for Ignite Denver. I will be speaking, and I will be talking about the stuff that I see in coffee shops.
That sounds good. Good stuff, Jeff. That witch has just asked me about that app, and apparently she's asked a dyslexic question, and apparently it's really good for people with dyslexia because it's only showing one word at a time, and it's getting rid of the rest of the clutter on the page, so to speak. They can focus on just the one word, and apparently they take it in. Good. Fantastic. Also, Jeff, I was going to ask you, Adam Christensen was on like Mac Show, as I said, and he mentioned a service where you share what apps you're using. But we didn't catch the name of it properly.
Oh, yeah, it's Appler. You can go to getappler.com, and it's getappler.com. And it's actually really cool because you can – what it does is it will link up to your iTunes account, but in a way where it's not actually getting personal information. And then it gets the database of all the apps you've bought. And so then you've just got that whole list in your account, and then you can tag all the apps based on what you like and don't like and add comments. And then other people, they can go and look for whatever type of app they're interested in and then see what people are really thinking about them. It's actually a really well-designed site. And I've been lucky enough, like Adam, to be able to play with it since it's been like in the early beta. And it's cool. So it's getappler.com. That's what Adam was talking about.
Excellent. I'll put it on the Google Plus description when the show goes out as well.
Fantastic. Cool.
Paul, where can we get hold of you, sir?
You'll get me on Twitter at Paulums and skulking around the old BTN, putting the old odd review here and there.
Here and there. Don't ask my show. You can't do that.
I was doing a double, you know.
Do you know, on various shows, I always try and get the name of my show somewhere into the show, but, yeah.
Well, I was doing the same, of course. Subliminal, you
so,
ruined the joke.
What's the next review we can look forward to? You've got one ready to go?
I've got a few bits of hardware in this weekend that I'm going to be testing out, and I'll get them up hopefully this weekend. So, some really good stuff as well. Always a surprise, though. Well, by the time people hear this, it will be on the site, so.
So go and check that out. Richard, where can we get hold of you?
At Rich Hartness is the best place to find me. On Twitter.
On Twitter, that's it. My name's Carl Mann. You can get me at Twitter at Glorzio101 or on various other shows on this very network, including The Media Show and Mac Show, which I'll be hosting tomorrow. And also on my own show, which I do with Missy, called The Here and There Show, which is completely daft but good fun. That's our show for tonight. Hopefully you've had fun. And as I say, I'll see you on the Mac Show tomorrow if you're around. Until next week, stay safe. See ya.
Bye.